WWF Superstar compete in the Royal Rumble for the undisputed WWF Championship, including Jake the Snake Roberts, the Barbarian, the Model Rick Martel, the Berserker, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Nasty Boy Zag, Repo Man, Sergeant Slaughter, alleged Real World Champion Ric Flair, Hercules, Colonel Mustafa, the Macho Man Randy Savage, Jenner, the British Bulldog Baby Boy Smith, the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase.
You're really going to
and so me. Many others. Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling. We are doing our pay-per-view retrospective here on WWF Royal Rumble 1992, one of the most historic events of all time, one of the greatest Royal Rumble matches of all time. Can't wait to get into it. I'm here with my fabulous co-hosts, Doug and Eric. How you guys doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
What's up?
And
how are you?
I'm doing well. I believe Clintus will be joining us shortly, or whenever he can. So we'll see what happens. Before we get into all that, let's go to Doug with the plugs.
All right. Make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday night, Mixlr.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Listen to them on Saturday for the Hollywood Hangout, Mixlr.com/Hollywood Hangout. Saturday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen to us every Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, here for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Of course, tonight, Royal Rumble 92. Next Friday night, we're going to be rebooking 5 Royal Rumble matches. 94, 2000, 2001, 1997. Probably should have said 97 seconds, go in order. And a 5th one that will be voted on by you, the people. I'll put that poll up in facebook.com/groups/oldschoolwrestling either later tonight or early tomorrow. Now, I have a question.
And I'll put in other groups.
All right, what's your question?
Are we booking our own, or are we doing all 5 and we're going around the round table and working together?
We're going to – Lord help us, we're going to work together.
Okay. Sounds good.
So those are going to be booked. Still working on the ideas for February, but I can say that February 25th is the plan for the top 20 greatest tag teams of all time countdown.
Hell yeah.
We were going to do it in January, but I wanted to do the rebooking the Rumbles idea.
Yeah.
So that'll be coming up. Also, in February, I'm going to shoot for February 18th. We're going to take a look back because it will be the 20th anniversary of the February 17th, 1997 episode of Monday Night Raw, Bret Hart versus Psycho Sid for the WWF title. The night after Bret Hart won the championship at Final Four, he had to defend it against Sid. And this was kind of... you know, help build the seeds for Bret becoming, I mean, Bret was already starting to get bitter.
We're doing Final Four?
No, we're not going to do Final Four. We're going to do the night after Final Four.
Okay.
I mean, unless I get vetoed and you guys want to do Final Four.
No, I remember the night after. It was good.
Yeah. Also, tomorrow night, at 7 p.m. Eastern time, here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. We are going to have, it's going to be Settlement in the Ring, this time adult animation style on Unscripted Unlimited. It's Simpsons versus Family Guy versus South Park. Daniel's friend Tyler will be representing Family Guy. Kenny Lehman will be back on the show, we hope. He'll be representing the Simpsons. And then... my buddy Baron will be on representing South Park. So we're going to see who everybody thinks is better. Daniel and I will be the judges. Eric, you're not available tomorrow night, correct?
As far as I know, not right now.
Okay.
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Just don't wait till 6:55. So that is tomorrow. That is tomorrow night, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. We're pretty sure for the Scaredy Cats podcast,
yeah.
Daniel and Mindy, which also can be found on the YouTube, right?
Yes.
Under
Scaredy Cats podcast on YouTube. We're also on TikTok. It's more Mindy, but check out our TikTok. It's killing it right now. Scaredy Cats podcast.
Oh, I didn't know you were on YouTube too.
And we have a Facebook group as well.
What is the subject matter for Sunday?
I Know What You Did Last Summer, season one, for right now.
Okay. That is until you watch something else that you'd rather talk about?
Yeah.
That's usually how it goes.
That's how it went last week.
That's how it goes with all the shows. And then, of course, next week, the Hard Hits show. It's either going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, depending on Clintus and Eric's work schedules. You're going to be recapping divisional weekend and previewing championship Sunday.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, I think that's all I got.
Can't wait.
All right, boys.
All right, I tried to give Clintus enough time to to call in. He must still be recuperating from the sex change.
We'll ring him in if
I messaged him, so he might be sleeping.
Well, let's get into it. We have the 1992 Royal Rumble in Albany, New York at the Knickerbocker Arena. We had a gate of 17,000. And this was, at the time, they had the four flagship. I mean, they had the Tuesday in Texas this year. But at the time, they had the flagship pay-per-views.
Right.
You know, it wasn't every month like it is now.
Right. And by the way, we are technically going in order because we did do Tuesday in Texas last month. So, like, this is kind of – Tuesday in Texas set this up.
You're going to make us talk about that WrestleMania next month, aren't you?
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
We can skip the SummerSlam, though.
Okay, cool.
The SummerSlam sucked.
The WrestleMania sucked.
Hey! My favorite WrestleMania.
Really?
Yeah.
Sid and Hogan is your favorite WrestleMania.
Savage Flair.
Oh, yeah. But let's get into it. So the stage is set for – I mean, we have a lot of good people in this Rumble match. Obviously,
yeah.
We'll get into that at the end. But this is – I mean, we kind of talked about this being a one-match card yesterday.
Yeah.
But it's all right when your one match is a Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Did you – I don't know if you realized it or not, but I actually did the – You know, standing in a back room by myself for about, 5 hours, a day gives you time to reflect and talk to yourself. And I was doing the math in my head today. Eric, you would know. I was doing the math in my head today. 17 Hall of Famers were in that Royal Rumble match alone.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, they weren't alone. They had 13 other people with them. But, there were 17.
Are you
going to
name them?
Huh?
Are you going to name them?
Well, yeah, when we get to the match.
I mean, the match is stacked. I mean, even, from the lower people, they're, IRS and, Virgil, and they were still good, and Repo Man, but that was still, good for that time.
Yeah, And we will be doing kind of something, because I do want to play some of their theme songs, when we get to talking about them. I actually had Eric download them today.
Okay. Whatever you want to do, bud.
Yes.
The dark match, Chris Walker and the Brooklyn Brawler. We didn't see it, but we might as well mention it.
Yeah. Chris Walker, by the way, had been brought in, like I said, when we did Tuesday in Texas, he was brought in He signed on while he was still working for Global.
Yeah.
He forgot to drop the tag title. And he comes in, well-built guy. He had a good look. He was a decent athlete. The problem is he got brought in around the time where they actually had to start testing for steroids. And when you look like that, it's kind of hard to, push somebody that looks like that when you know what they do. It was a bad time for him to come in.
Yeah. But he wins. They obviously didn't do much with him. But the first match on this card is the New Foundation and the Orient Express. with Mr. Fuji, of course. Now, talk about the new foundation a little bit, Doug. Why didn't this work quite as well? Because little brother Owen, he was always interesting, and he would break out later in the year, later in the next couple years.
Yeah. Well, but, I can tell you exactly why this didn't work out. Anvil was an idiot. The reason why the team broke up is because he got fired on the 5th of February.
But it wasn't working when it was there. Why wasn't it working?
Ah!
Why didn't they have the magic that Brett and Jim had?
Because I think Owen wanted to be his own man, I think.
On his own.
Yeah. Okay? And, like, and Brett has even talked about before how, like, when you're with Ambo, technically you're the babysitter.
Yeah.
Owen didn't want to babysit the guy. So it's just like, I mean, they were a decent team. I mean, I personally liked them. Would they have won the tag titles had they stayed together? Probably not.
No.
But, you know, I mean, and they were already slated for a WrestleMania match as a team.
What were they in?
Well, they were going to be in that they were going to team with Boss Man and Virgil in the 8-man.
Okay.
Because the match had already been technically made. Although, if you read, and when we do the WrestleMania, coming up probably in April, I'll have the magazine with me because the WWF magazine technically lists, like, different matches than what they were actually promoting. But, you know, we'll talk about that. But, yeah, no, Anvil and Owen were going to be, you know, part of this 8-man, and Duggan and Slaughter were going to do something else.
Really?
Yeah, they were actually slated for the tag title shot.
Okay.
And also, actually, originally, Owen wasn't supposed to, or Owen and Anvil weren't even going to be on the card. Originally, according to the WWF magazine. But anyway, like, as far as this team goes, yes, they were a good team. Owen was a great athlete. Anvil was technically still over.
Yeah.
Okay? It just... Owen and Brett are two different people.
Yeah. And Brett really had the people behind him, too.
Yeah.
And Owen was getting there, but, you know, obviously, it was 93, his breakout run, right?
In late 93, early 94, that's when he really started to come on his own.
So he was obviously getting there. As the white meat baby face, he never really worked. But Owen was so interesting that he was such a good heel, and there was other stuff. Like, he really understood pro wrestling.
Yeah.
As what they were presenting him here didn't exactly work. But I don't know if that's all his fault. The match itself, it was all right.
Too long. Should have shaved about 7 minutes.
I love Pat Tanaka. And Kato's not bad either. And Jim and Owen, all these guys can work. But it's just there wasn't much heat behind it. It was a little stale.
Pat and Paul, Kato, by the way, his real name is Paul Diamond. They were way past their prime. They were good in about 88, 89 as a tag team by the name of Bad Company.
Yeah.
In AWA. This was way past their prime. Fuji, I don't think, gave a shit. It was just, it was a very long match. I mean, Bobby Heenan tried to make the best out of it with his commentary.
It is a little weird that this is the longest match on the card when you got the other, Legion of Doom and Natural Disaster don't need to go 15 either, but you got, like, Piper and Mounty and other things. It is crazy this one's 17.
Yeah. And also, you got to remember, too, Piper had to pull double duty.
Yeah.
All right? And he was going to have a long, you know, rumble.
Yeah, that's true.
So you don't want him to go, because Piper's not necessarily a stamina machine.
No.
Okay?
He can go, but...
Yeah. So, like, you don't want him to do, you know, 15 minutes in a match in a single and then have to come out and do another 30-something in the Rumble because he's going to be out of gas. But we'll talk about Roddy's Rumble performance later on because I thought, you know, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing about, like, this, yeah, the match should not have gone 17 minutes, but Bobby Heenan's commentary, I think, did help it. Like, there was a couple of,
yeah.
like,
it always helps the shit.
When they hit the headbutt on on Owens, like when it looked like Tanaka headbutted him in the cabbage.
Yeah.
Gorilla goes in the lower abdomen, or maybe even lower than that. And Heenan goes, wouldn't be in the abdomen then, would it? Would be in the kneecap.
Yes.
Or in that area. Give or take. No, and I'm saying it the way he said it because he would pause like every 10 seconds like to kind of get that effect, and Gorilla's just like, just forget it. But Heenan's commentary, I think, really made the entire show.
Yeah, it always did, though. Him and Gorilla, I mean, that's behind Jerry and JR. That's like, that's the team.
Yeah, so I think it helped. Now, did this I mean, the wrestling here was not bad. But you shave about 7 minutes off. If you shave about 7 minutes off, if they would have given us 10 minutes, I would give it. I would give it an 8.
Yeah.
17 minutes, I'd give it a 5.5.
Damn. Yeah, I'd probably agree and say 5.5. It was all right. It's just like I said, not too much heat behind it, and the two teams just they weren't the hot. When you have better tag matches on the card, that's just all that there is to it. So, Eric?
It was a okay opening match. As Doug said, it was probably too long. They could have added to, like, the another match or something. But, yeah, I would have made this about 10 minutes. And I give it about 5 out of 10.
Absolutely. Now, moving on, before we get into Piper and Mountie, I want to talk about Roddy's promo beforehand.
Oh,
and I'm also going to have you do your impression of it.
You want me to do it?
You don't have to do the whole thing. At least go to the integrity part.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what we're dealing with is one of the original Village People here with his mate Jimmy Hart, who keeps kissing the belt, leaving all that lipstick on it. I heard the Mountie out here saying, first thing I'm going to do, pounds his chest, I don't know, hand me something. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take Roddy Piper's integrity. Like Jack Huso trying to find a dry spot in the ocean. I ain't got no damn integrity. What do you think I got so far?
Good shit, bud. So, yeah, he did that.
There was more to it. Like, the whole promo was just gold.
It was gold. And he was gold. And he was great on the mic. It was a great rendition, by the way. And Roddy just, when it comes to the promo.
That takes
one of
years of practice, just so you know.
I know. I've heard it a lot. It's one of my favorite things. But Roddy Piper, not only one of the greatest heels of all time, but one of the greatest promos of all time. And even as a babyface here, he made you believe in him. And he can make you hate him. He can make you believe in him. And that's what a pro wrestler's supposed to do. So, you know, he sold the match. That was better than the match. And that just tells you how good he is. But you got him and the Mountie. The Mountie's the champion. You know, he's kind of a paper champion. He just beat Brett. Welcome to the show, Clintus. It's good to have you, bud. We're talking about Roddy Piper and the Mountie. I'm actually going to start with you, Eric. What did you think of this match?
Okay. I thought it was a pretty decent match for what it was. I wasn't surprised that Piper won. I think I remember him being champion in 92, so I'm not surprised he won. This set up Piper and Brett, right?
Yeah. Not the original plan, by the way.
Oh, okay. When was the original plan?
Piper and Martel.
Why didn't they go with
Brett? Oh, okay.
Because they found out Brett was going to stay.
Yeah.
When it gets to be my turn, you want me to get in the backstory?
Yeah. But did you like it, Eric?
But I liked the match. I liked it for what it was.
Clintus, what did you
think? I'm happy that Piper won.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a good babyface one.
Yeah. I mean, I like
a lot of babyface one in this card.
Right. Go ahead, Clintus.
I thought it was an okay match for what it was. I put it back and forth, but I'm just going to say this. This is, like, way out of my time date. So watching this and trying to enjoy it is kind of hard for me to do.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Doug, you want to get into the backstory a little bit?
First of all, fuck you both. This is the best era in wrestling. I actually enjoyed it.
I'm not saying. I mean, some people enjoy that era. I'm not a big fan of that era. I can watch it, but it usually puts me to sleep sometimes.
You know,
I know what he means.
What did he say?
I know what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, I do understand that, trust me, and I know you understand that. All right, so the backstory of this whole thing, the match was supposed to be Brett and the Mountie, okay? But, however, it was around this time Brett was negotiating to go to WCW.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay? So all, you know, when he used to say all the time that he was a company guy, bullshit. Brian Pillman had, because he was friends with Brian Pillman, Brian Pillman had said, hey, I can get you a good deal to come here. And when they started the negotiations, Jim Herd was in charge. Well, Jim Herd got fired at the beginning of the year. So, and Kip Fry took over. And Kip Fry realized, it's like, you know, we can't bring in big contracts, which is what Brett was technically promised.
Yeah.
But they had an idea. They said, you know, if you want to come in, you know, we can do this thing at the Clash of Champions with you. And you'll debut. Clash of Champions, by the way, was 2 days after this. Well, so the WWF started thinking, oh, fuck, we got to do something. And that's when they actually started kind of building at the house shows. Rick Martel would actually interfere in Roddy Piper's matches with Ric Flair. And then they had a deal here. Okay, where they they basically were trying to eliminate each other in the Royal Rumble match. So they had interaction there. So it started building that up. Well, before Brett could debut with WCW, apparently somebody informed him. Now, they informed him of this before they took the title off him, but they still took the title off him anyway. They informed him, like, right as he was going to sign the deal with WCW, because he was still going to go. They told him, they said, oh, yeah, by the way, we know you're getting ready to leave, but you kind of can't because your contract doesn't roll over till September. And he's just like, and nobody could tell me that before? Because he didn't know. He didn't know when it's got. Because a lot of those times, back in the day, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to get, the company is supposed to give you a 90-day notice.
Right.
And that 90-day notice is to either renegotiate, try to get yourself more money, get the fuck out of the deal, or it's just going to roll over, and you're going to be signed on for another, you know, year, same terms, same money. Now, WWF really wasn't that structured, because technically, like, I mean, they were, but also they had other shit going on at that time. So, and also sometimes, too, sometimes guys get the notice, but they don't know about it because they're not home.
Right.
So he had no fucking clue. And, you know, his contract ended up rolling over. And he ended up having to drop the title. They did that storyline with him and the Mountie where he had the 104-degree temperature. I mean, he was back in the ring like 12 days later at an MSG show. But, yeah. And as far as like this match goes, I thought it was a feel-good moment for Piper. Yes, the match wasn't great, but it was a feel-good moment for Piper.
Yeah.
It didn't really have to be great because it was more of a story moment.
Yeah.
That's what you get out of these things sometimes, and that's what this was, and I think it was fine. I give it a 6. I'd even bump that up to a 7.
For story purposes, I'm giving it an 8.
I don't want to give it a 6.
Eric?
I'll give it a 7.
All right. Let's move on to the Beverly Brothers. Bo and Blake Beverly with the Genius against the Bushwhackers with Jameson, of course.
Yeah.
Now, this is one of your favorite gimmicks of this era. Tell us why, Doug. The Bushwhackers, obviously.
Yeah. Beverly Brothers. I just like how fun-loving they were.
Yeah.
I would never want to get licked by one of them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I mean, well, plus, like, if you tried that gimmick nowadays, you know, going up and licking a kid, you know, you'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it was funny. He licked the kid and girl. It's like, that little guy's going to remember that for the rest of his life. Yeah, because he's fucking scarred. He's going to be in therapy for the rest of his life. He went to the rest, and they're going to ask him at school the next day, what'd you do yesterday, Billy? Oh, I went to the show, and this guy licked my head. And my dad watched and drank a beer. What the fuck?
Yeah, so
this,
like...
This gimmick wouldn't work in... No.
No, it wouldn't. Because, like, you go and you lick a kid, you lick a kid's head, you're going to jail. That's MJF's uncle, he'll tell you.
Especially with COVID now, too.
Oh, yeah, COVID is the reason why this wouldn't work.
Well, yeah.
I'm saying one of the reasons.
I mean, let's move on. The match itself sucked.
Oh, my God.
It was 15 minutes of ass. The Bushwhackers never need to go 15 minutes. And the Beverly Brothers tried, but there wasn't much they could do here. This match absolutely blew, and I give it a 2 out of 10.
You know, the funny thing is that this was actually a dark match at WrestleMania 8.
Really?
They kept this going. They had it as a dark match at WrestleMania 8, 10 minutes. Bushwhackers won. And then they ran the match again at a TV taping in Niagara Falls, New York, at the end of April of 92. I was there.
You were there?
Yep. Mom and Dad took me for my 6th birthday.
Nice.
And they had this match there, 1 minute and 50 seconds.
Who won?
The Beverly's won. And that's actually when they started a program with LOD. So to go from close to 15 minutes on a pay-per-view to 10 minutes in a dark match to then, you know, a minute and 50 seconds on television, I think they got it right the third time.
Yeah. You got a lot of mileage out of it, that's for sure. Well, what do you think, Clintus, and what would you give it?
I agree with you, Daniel. It was one of the pits. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I'd rewatch it for the second time to put me to sleep. So I'm going to give it a 1 out of 10.
Jesus Christ.
All right, Eric, what do you think?
I thought this was boring. Sorry, Doug. I give it a 1 out of 10, too.
All right. Here's the thing. I love the gimmick.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the gimmick.
I'm not
missing any of you guys. But unfortunately,
the Beverlys were a great gimmick.
Well, shut up. I love the gimmick. Not necessarily too fond of you guys, but unfortunately, I do agree with you. Okay. This was not
good.
It wasn't good. However, I'm gonna give it a 2.5. I'll at least go up a half.
Minus 3 then. All right, let's move on. The Natural Disasters and the Legion of Doom. Now, this was one that should have been really good. And on paper, because it's two badass teams, you know, Earthquake and Typhoon, which together probably weigh a ton. against the Legion of Doom, two of the baddest men on the planet when they walked it. R.I.P. to both of them, and R.I.P. to Earthquake.
Yep.
But this match, it was a little dull. It was not as bad as the one previous, but it didn't really have the hype I thought it would have. But I didn't mind it either, so I think I would give it a neutral 5. But like I said, this pay-per-view isn't really known for the undercard. It's known for one of the greatest Royal Rumble matches ever, so that's okay. But that's just my opinion on the match. Clint, what did you think?
I agree. I mean, the match was okay. I mean, I enjoyed it much better than that Bushwhackers match. No. Well, yeah, I'll give it a 6 out of 10.
How about you, Eric?
I thought it was solid. I mean, I get why they had to count out because they didn't want to get natural disasters pinned, and it keeps both of them keep going. Did the feud continue?
Yeah. No, and it was supposed to continue.
Feud
this
continue.
Was supposed to be WrestleMania.
So.
Did they before WrestleMania?
No, because they had to turn. They had to turn Earthquake and Typhoon babyface. Well, they didn't have to. They chose to. Well, let Eric give his rating, and then I'll get into it. Did you
give
it a rating?
I gave it a 5.5.
Five and a half. Okay. So Earthquake and Typhoon were supposed to win the titles at WrestleMania. It was going to be a match. It was actually going to be an alley fight, a street fight, but they called it alley fight back then. That's when they were going to win the titles. However, in February, right after this, end of January, early February, Hawk got popped for a drug test.
Oh, wow.
So they had to suspend him. And Animal was having back issues anyway. So they needed to drop the titles to him, and they decided instead of dropping the titles to Natural Disasters, because they didn't think there was a babyface team that could match up with them at WrestleMania, they decided to have them drop the titles to DiBiase and IRS at a house show and say that Jimmy Hart Jimmy Hart cheated the Natural Disasters out of the title shot and helped Money Inc. get it. Even though Typhoon helped DiBiase and IRS win the titles. But in reality, what happened was Legion of Doom didn't want to do the job on television. Another idea was, okay, we'll do it on a Saturday night's main event. You know, it's a big title change. We'll get it done there.
Yeah.
Hawk said no. And apparently when you fail the drug test, you actually hold all the cards. He was just like, nah, it ain't going to happen that way. And they could have been like, motherfucker, you got popped for the drug test. You're going to do what we fucking tell you to do.
Yeah.
They didn't. They, you know, just let them have their way. So, yeah, it was an okay match. It could have been better. I get why they did the count out and all that. I'm giving it a 4.
Damn. Well, let's get into the meat and potatoes then of this thing.
Yeah.
One of the greatest Rumble matches of all time, and I'm going to name off the entrance here. And by order.
Can I play their themes?
Yes.
When you name them off.
Sure.
We can find them. Eric, do you have them?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll play it.
Here we go.
Let me get mine.
So, first up, and this just tells you how stacked this thing is, right? First off, only play it for a few seconds, Eric. We have the British Bulldog. One of the of the greatest of all time, a legend, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Should be, obviously.
Well, no, he got in.
He is. With good reasoning on that. Next up, we have Ted DiBiase.
Do we even have his?
I don't know.
No.
I didn't even know we were doing this until we started the episode. Yeah. Ted DiBiase, of course, another legend and another reason why this thing's stacked. We have the winner at number three, Mr. Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
I had him.
Woo!
I thought I had him. Whoa. There you go.
Working pretty well. All right. After that, we have Jerry Sags.
Of the Nasty Boys.
Of the Nasty
Knobs
Boys.
Was supposed to be in this, but Knobs actually got stabbed at an airport like a few days prior.
Jesus Christ.
I'm serious.
We met those guys.
Yeah. He got stabbed at an airport, so they said, all right, you can take the night off.
Well, that was nice of them. Then we have Haku.
Well, I found Ric Flair.
Too late. Now we have Shawn Michaels. Give me Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid. I'm just a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
I'm not
your
boy, toy.
I'm trying to find them. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
So many
we have Tito Santana. We have the Barbarian. We also have the Texas Tornado, one of the greatest come out of the world class, of course.
Yes.
We have Repo Man, Greg Valentine.
I couldn't find that one.
So it's okay. Some underrated legends. We got the Nikolai Volkov.
Hold on. I got to let this. Because I actually did.
Repo Man.
You know, even though he was a heel, he was one of my favorite gimmicks.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a dumb gimmick. I mean, it was funny.
And to be honest with you, it worked.
It did work, yeah, for sure.
Who are you looking for?
Next, our next one.
Big Boss. If you ever take a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia, you better read the sign.
So Big Boss Man's in this. Hercules, of course. Roddy Piper. We talked about him. He did double duty, like you said.
Yeah. Which was funny. Like he was at, you know, he's actually the first person to ever do double duty.
Really?
Yeah.
Ever.
In a Royal Rumble,
wow.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say, he should be down there.
Yes.
I know we've had.
Keep going.
But no, he did double duty. Again, you know, guys have done it, you know, before Brett did it, you know, a couple of years later. But,
and next up we have Jim Duggan.
Yeah. One of my all time favorites too, by the way.
A lot of people I know.
It's actually funny. Back when I was on another show, we actually covered this episode, and like I was so looking forward to it. But the problem is, we did it live, and the podcast that I did at the time. Unfortunately, we had a chat room, and in that chat room was a lot of pieces of shit. So like, and the one thing that I kept getting made fun of for is how much I, you know, kind of admired Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
And the guy that admired me for it, thank God I never have to deal with him again. So, pal, if you actually happen to be listening to this, go fuck yourself.
And Jim Duggan, a great position in this Rumble.
20 minutes, by the way. He fucking did this. Which, by the way, like as we're going through this, you know, obviously Flair won.
He went an hour.
He went an hour. He won. But if you think about it, and if you let me loose, I can actually come up with ways as how quite a few of these guys winning would have worked.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
IRS is in this bitch. Jimmy Snuck is in.
27 minutes for IRS, by the way. Who, by the way, is probably the best heel worker in this match that's not Flair.
Yeah. It's hard to beat Ric Flair.
Oh, nobody can beat Ric Flair.
He's your favorite.
Oh, God. You're just favorite.
We got the legend, Jimmy Snuka.
Right.
Undertaker's in here.
Yeah, and by the way, like, the whole this whole fucking thing is because of him. Well, because of him and... Because
he had to kill... What's his name, right?
Hulkamania.
Yeah. And, by the way, I mean, we probably should have mentioned this in the beginning. They hadn't done this 24 years. They did this for the title. This isn't you get a shot at WrestleMania. This is a Royal Rumble for the belt, so this has real stakes.
This is the first time, though, that the Rumble winner actually got a prize.
Yeah, and it was the world title.
Yeah, because then, obviously, the next year they would change it to, you know, getting a title shot. But it was just, it was so, I mean, as a kid, guys, hearing that this was going to happen, this was just like, oh, my God. They actually, and the funny thing is, this happened the day before, I think, Martin Luther King Day, okay? So kids head off from school anyway. But to make sure everybody actually got to watch this, they started this at 4 in the afternoon.
Damn. In New York, too.
Because, well, it was also a Sunday, too, Eric. So even though... Like, they wanted to make sure they had the audience. Which already, you know, this is a one-match card. You have 30 of the
top guys.
30 of the top guys. I mean, yeah, probably there's, you know, probably 10 of these guys probably don't belong fighting for the title.
Yeah, but it's still like the mid-card guys they chose, it still made sense.
Yeah.
The only one that doesn't is Skinner.
Yeah. I mean, and say this, you know, we kind of forgot to mention his name, but Greg Valentine, who was also in this, this was actually technically his last appearance with the company.
Then he went back to WCW.
He went to WCW because he was actually already skipping out on the house shows.
Really?
Well, guess who he was going to be working the loop with?
Oh.
One of your favorites, Skinner.
Can't blame him. All right.
Yeah. Thanks. No, I was just going to say, like, he was going to be – so they actually replaced him. They put fucking Jim Brunzell in there. They're like, all right, look, you got to fucking work with him.
Bet that drew money.
Next
up, the Macho Man. Oh, yeah.
Here were the opener.
Macho One of my
Man.
Favorite teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a legend, you know, and he lasted 22 minutes in this thing, even coming to 21, so.
Which, by the way, he fucked up.
Why?
When he eliminated Jake the Snake.
Oh, he was supposed to?
No, he was supposed to. He jumped over the top rope to get back at Jake. Because he was supposed to slide under the ring and go after him. He's, you know, Randy liked to improvise. So he hopped over the top rope. And so Bobby Heenan had to come up with on the fly, and God bless him, because they were basically saying he's eliminated. And, you know, McMahon is in Bobby's ear saying, do something. I really don't think he was talking to Bobby. I think he was trying to tell Monsoon to do something. Bobby's just like, oh, I know what it is, Monsoon. You have to be eliminated by somebody. You can't eliminate yourself. Even though fucking 3 years earlier, Andre the Giant eliminated himself and they said he was gone.
So, but everybody bought it.
Or they really didn't buy it,
I'm
sure.
Never a rule after that, though. Mad people have eliminated themselves from the Rumble.
Yeah, but because they needed Randy for the Final Four,
yeah,
they're just like, fuck. Ugh. Oh, he got his ass chewed after.
That's funny.
Like, but no, he... But Bobby Heenan, God bless him, even though it's technically the color comment, or not the color, the play-by-play guy's job to fucking come up with the explanation. Bobby Heenan just like, yeah, I know what's going on.
Now, the next few entrants are all kind of underrated. We got the Berserker, we got Virgil, we got Colonel Mustafa, which that's Iron Sheik, right?
Correct.
A legend, Iron Sheik, the hater of Hulk Hogan, one of the greatest of all time. Rick Martel, I got you. How good was Rick Martel?
He was another one that should be right up at the top, I think. He was another one that
I'm not doing it. We're doing Hulk.
Oh, you're not doing his.
No. Uh-huh.
By the way, this is no, go ahead.
Yeah. Rick Martel, the model gimmick, I think, suited him right. It suited him well.
Yeah, he was a good heel.
Yeah, I mean, I know you liked him as a babyface.
I liked him in Strikeforce.
Yeah, I mean, I did too.
But no. He was best as the model, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree.
No Hogan.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought we had Hogan team out here.
But Hulk Hogan's in this thing. Obviously a legend. Probably the most recognizable pro wrestler of all time. He was kind of a prick in this thing because he could never lose.
Yeah. The way he eliminated Sid is not something I'm fond of.
Yeah, that was weird that he
yeah.
He basically helped Rick win.
It was, and then, I mean, we'll get into it in a few minutes once we get done fucking around with the themes.
Skinner.
Yeah, your boy.
He sucks. Sergeant Slaughter's in this.
You know what's funny about Skinner, and I'll say this real quick.
I like Steve Kern. I'm sorry.
Somebody on eBay is selling a Skinner Hasbro, and it's graded, right?
Yeah.
And signed. The fucker thinks he can get $10,000 for it, though.
Good luck, buddy.
Unfortunately, I'm not joking.
Hey, you never know. It can happen.
No.
Yeah.
No, he hit it up 3 times.
Hey, one time.
Somebody yelling at me.
Clint is pissed.
Why? Because somebody wants to get $10,000 for a figure?
Yeah. You never know. Don't push somebody buy it. You never know. Don't bust on the man's hustle.
Oh, he's yelling at me for getting upset at the guy. Clint is defending the man.
Sergeant Slaughter in this was a top heel at the time.
No, he was babyface. He was Duggan's partner.
Okay, so he's babyface again. Sid Justice.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done doing that.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, I think we've made our point.
You've got enough giggles. I'm satisfied.
Okay.
The Warlord's in this at number 30. Great choice for 30. What did we all think of this match, Clint? If you go first.
I got one. I got to give Ric Flair's props. Over an hour, second longest in Rumble history. Over an hour. to last and win a championship means takes a lot of stamina to do. Especially you got guys, hot guys like Michaels, Hogan's in there, like IRS. And to outlast everybody, it's a hard thing to do. And he was able to do it. So I did enjoy it on that theory right then and there. I always like seeing someone last a long time in a Rumble.
Yeah. And he's definitely the guy to do it. I mean, Rick, this was a career defining. I mean, we already knew what Ric Flair was. He was already a legend when he got here, but holy shit.
By the way, this was Bobby Heenan's idea.
I'm glad they were. I mean, obviously, a lot of people think it should have been Hogan and Piper at WrestleMania, but what we got with him and Savage was a classic performance. Hogan and Sid, not so much. But.
Okay, so you could have gone a few different. I do think Flair went in, and trust me, I'm not a Ric Flair fan. Okay. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm more upset at the fact that his semen produced Charlotte. But like, I really think, like, especially with as good as this match was, and, you know, he proved that he can go. You know, obviously in later years, all he did was, you know, grab crotch and chop. I mean, if you want to see grown men do that, just watch the movie The Birdcage. But, like, he proved back then that he was the man.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, yeah, I would have preferred to see. To be honest with you, like, Sid could have won the thing. Hogan could have won the thing. Savage could have won it. Jake Roberts could have won it.
Bulldog could have won it.
Bulldog? I mean, my personal pick is Boss Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you could have. Yeah, Hogan could have won that one, too.
Huh?
The end.
Or Taker.
Hogan could have won that, too, you know?
Yeah. And here's the thing, and let me just make the case real quick, is for how Jake Roberts could have won.
Oh.
All right? They could have had him win, and then he had this continued feud with Savage, and then him and Savage main event for the title at WrestleMania. The story's there.
Yeah, it would have been damn good.
Because not only, because again, like instead of, you know, Jake Roberts, you know, or Savage fighting Jake Roberts for Elizabeth's honor, he fought Flair for Elizabeth's honor. So they could have just done the whole thing where he's getting revenge on Jake for everything that happened. He's also going to take Jake's title.
Yeah, that's a hard one because in that, because that is two great Elizabeth angles back to back.
Yeah,
and we all forget that that happened back to back like
yeah.
that, and that's two classic storylines. So it's kind of as awesome. I mean, it's like bittersweet because then it'd be cool. That would have been awesome because we get a continuation of a great storyline, and that could have been continued for sure. But what we got was still amazing.
Yeah,
and what we said now we have two classic storylines together. Because Rick and his dichotomy with Elizabeth was amazing. And he was the perfect, like, sleazeball player to be in that role.
You make another case for another heel that could have won. And just follow me on here before you, you know, call me an idiot, right?
Yeah.
Repo Man.
Oh, my God.
Just follow me here. Repo Man. He gets eliminated. They don't see it. He comes out. And he dumps, let's say he dumps Davey over the top rope. They were going to push Davey to the moon anyway.
I love you to death. And I love Bulldog.
And
but Bulldog and Repo Man is not main eventing a wrestling.
Well, technically, Flair and Savage didn't either.
But still.
I'm just saying, Repo Man repossesses the title. Davey's the one to go after him.
I get it.
Or could he be, or could have even been Hogan.
Can I make
Hogan
a case for Piper?
No, he's still selling. I mean, Piper, yeah, but Piper just got the IC title. He didn't need it. It was cool that he went 37, and Piper proved a lot on that night.
Yeah.
He proved that he had a gas tank. So he went 34 minutes.
Another guy, IRS.
Shawn Michaels.
IRS, you know, Shawn. Shawn Michaels, yeah. Shawn Michaels could have won the damn thing. And then, to be honest with you, Shawn and Piper at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Okay? There's so many ways you could have gone. IRS, you know, who proved, again, I think he's the second best heel worker in this match besides Flair. With, obviously, Martel and Jake and DiBiase right behind them.
Who?
IRS.
So Undertaker's not even on the list?
No, he's behind the rest of them, but, like, it's IRS and then Jake, Martel, DiBiase. I mean, Undertaker's there, too, but Undertaker's also a gimmick.
Yeah, a heel gimmick.
Yeah. But, like, IRS, because he did 27 minutes in this thing.
I mean, if Tornado wasn't so conflicted with everything and, you know, all the demons and stuff, he could have won it.
Right, and...
But he was just going through a lot of shit.
He was going through... He was actually another one of the guys suspended.
Yeah.
But, like, you could have given IRS the title and, you know, finally finish the feud and give the proper payoff of his feud with Boss Man.
Yeah.
And Boss Man would have been a fine WrestleMania main event.
That's true.
Personal, you know, my personal opinion. So,
can you have Piper versus Bret for both titles? That would have been interesting.
It would have been interesting if, like, they would have done a thing where, because I don't think they would have let Piper keep both titles. They would have let him make history and then, you know, be like, all right. And then they probably would have given us, like, Bret and the Mountie at that Saturday night's main event. And then and then probably do a title versus title thing. That could have worked. I mean,
yeah.
I do like what we had at WrestleMania. I'm not saying changing. I'm just saying that there were other options.
Yeah.
Sid and Undertaker. I mean, when we got that at WrestleMania, it sucked. But like, there was so much talent that these guys, you could make a case for.
You could, but I'm glad the way they went. I'm glad Flair won. The promo was amazing. The tear in my eye.
Yeah.
It was one of the best Flair promos. It was one of the best moments of his career. I'm glad with giving it to him.
What about Gene Okerlund saying, put that cigarette out?
Yeah. Eric, what did you think of the match and give it a rating?
I thought the match was very good. I thought it didn't go too long, and Flair deserved it. The right guy won. But you can make, as we make cases for others, there could have been cases for others, but Flair was a man. In 92, so he was the right man to give it. I'm glad Hogan didn't win. But I give the match an 8 out of 10.
And also, too, by the way, Hogan, we're glossing over the fact that Sid Justice eliminating Hogan popped the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, I'm serious.
No, you're right.
I didn't notice that.
No, they were starting. They were going to try to start turning Sid because they wanted him to be the next top babyface. But he told him, he goes, "I'm a better asshole."
He was.
Yeah. So they were going to do this slow burn heel turn. The problem is when they dumped him, or when he threw Hogan over the top rope, the people cheered loudly. So they actually had to go through, they had to pipe in crowd boos. So when this thing got released on Coliseum Home Video, if you listen to the ending commentary, and you listen to the end, you'll hear the boos and all that. They had to pipe in the crowd boos, and they had to have Gorilla redo his commentary.
Really?
Yeah. They called Sid Justice a piece of garbage.
Damn.
They're just like, we cannot have people cheer this guy.
Yeah, because when you look at it, like, on the network, like, it looked kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, good, he got his ass out.
Yeah, and the Hogan, you know, looked like a scumbag for you know, pulling him out of the ring.
It should have happened the other way around.
Yeah.
That's what it should have happened if you wanted to get Sid heat. You just made Hogan look like a little bitch.
Exactly.
Looking like.
I mean, my favorite elimination, though, in this match is Piper grabbing IRS by the tie. And just like the way Gorilla, you know, kind of did it, right? Because for some reason, they didn't show IRS going out on camera. I mean, they kind of did. Like, you could see him go. But also, you knew something happened because the crowd popped.
Yeah.
But, like, he threw Piper over the rope, and Piper's on the apron. Piper grabs the tie, and IRS is teetering on the ropes. And he goes, he's got IRS hooked by the tie. There, teetering up there. And then IRS goes over, crowd pops, and Gorilla goes, he went out! And it was just, it still pops me. Because that was Piper's big elimination in this match.
What would you rate it?
10.
10 out of 10?
Yeah.
Damn.
These are 30 of my, well.
At least 20 to 20, 35.
I respect almost everybody in this. I mean, I do actually respect a lot of the stuff Ric Flair has done.
Yeah.
I don't respect his I shouldn't say I don't respect his children.
You don't
actually,
like him. You don't like him. You don't like Charlotte.
Yeah. But I do respect everything he's accomplished, and I respect what he accomplished here. So I respect all 30 people on this list.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay. In this Rumble. And of, am I fans of all of them? Not necessarily, but I do think that these were some of the greatest, not just athletes, but gimmicks.
And they were all kind of in their prime. Some of them, like, yeah, the Snookers and stuff that were, like, getting out of it, the Greg Valentines, but a lot of these people were, like, ready to go, and you had, like, young guns like Shawn Michaels and Davey Boy, too. So it was just a really good match.
Nikolai Volkoff thought he was going to get a hero's welcome coming out because he was just an alternate. He comes out, he gets booed, and he comes out waving to the crowd and slapping hands, you know, with the fans, you know, shaking hands,
he's
getting booed.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he knew.
He didn't last very long anyway, so.
Yeah, it's so, but God bless him.
Yeah, God bless him. I would give the match a 10 out of 10 as well. Clint, did we get your rating?
I want to give it a 10 out of 10.
What's up?
Yeah. No, it was just, but yeah, this is probably, I would say this is the greatest Rumble match of all time.
It's definitely up there for me.
I don't think this is the greatest Rumble pay-per-view of all time.
No.
No.
I'm giving this a 2001.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Clintus?
I said no. It wasn't the greatest pay-per-view of all time. But a great Rumble, yes. The matches on the card, it's just, no.
All right. And I agree with that. I think that this Rumble match actually has to be in, like, the top three. The only two Rumble matches that I would say are better than this are 2001, which we're going to be rebooking next week.
Yeah.
And we're going to probably get shot for rebooking it.
Yeah.
And 2007. I'll say 2007 is up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a soft spot for 2004, too. I know the stigma and everything, but besides that, front-to-back, great event.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. I can't wait to see what people want us to read, but more than likely, it's going to be, like, one of the later ones, because I don't think anybody's going to want us to touch an early one.
No.
But it's just, again, this pay-per-view, or this Rumble match, and this is one of the... By the way, the 30th anniversary was this past Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's been 30 years. People still talk about it because of what Flair was able to accomplish. But also, to remember, Davey Boy had a great performance, 23 minutes. Shawn Michaels and his breakout singles performance went 15 minutes in this thing.
That's true.
of Piper, you know, with the 34 minutes. I don't know how the hell they were able to get 20 out of Duggan.
But they did.
I love Hacksaw.
Yeah.
But when I think 20-minute and when I think 20-minute performances, I don't think Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
No.
You know, IRS got 20. We got 27 minutes out of him. We got 22 minutes out of Savage, even though he almost fucked it up. It's just these guys, I got a soft spot for a lot of them. Even Hercules, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Let's give this thing a final thoughts, though, at a rating, the event as a whole. And we're going to start with you, Eric.
I thought the event as a whole was pretty decent. It was a one-match show, as you said. The other matches were okay. I enjoyed it for what it was. I give the overall show an 8 out of 10.
Quintus?
All right. I want to say this. This match was saved. This show was saved by Royal Rumble itself. I mean, the card leading up to the matches were not that great. And the one for that Royal Rumble, I don't think I will demand a money back for it. But I will give it, because of the Royal Rumble, an 8 out of 10.
Absolutely. I will give this thing a 9 out of 10. Because, yes, the undercard was a little weak, but you did have the big names like the Natural Disasters and the Legion of Doom and Piper and stuff. And the cool Piper promo. And this match, to be a one-match card, it's all right to have one of the greatest matches of all time, especially a Royal Rumble with 30 different people. It's not just two guys going at it. So it might be a one-match card, but it's one of the greatest matches of all time. So that's okay. It's worth the watch. It's even worth watching the shit up to it and all the cool promos and each guy doing the interviews and stuff. The whole thing, it just has you hyped to the end. The match delivered tenfold. So it was really good. All guys in the match were ready to go. Slayer had an amazing performance, and everybody looked good. So I thought it was a great pay-per-view, and I give it a 9 out of 10. All right, Dougie, take us home.
Okay. This is one of my all-time favorite pay-per-views, and because this brings back fond memories for me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because this is one of my favorite time periods. So, yes, the undercard was not great. However, it was saved by this show.
This match.
By this match, I'm sorry. The only thing that really confused me is the fact that you have Roddy Piper and Jim Duggan both in the same ring for 20 minutes, both same color hair, same hairstyle, same color trunks. The only thing that was able, that actually helped me tell the difference between the two is that Duggan's fatter. And thank God for that. Because I could not, and a couple of times, it's just like, all right, who is it? Is that Duggan or is that Piper? But no, one of the greatest Royal Rumble matches of all time. Do I like the guy that won? No, but he earned it. He deserved it. Even though, yes, we could have made cases for other people.
Yeah. I'm glad they weren't with who they weren't with.
Yeah, me too. Because we got Savage and Flair at WrestleMania, even though that's not what everybody wanted.
It was a great moment, though, for Savage. So.
Yeah. So I'm giving this – I'm biased. I don't care if anybody, you know, judges me or not. You can go fuck yourself if you do. I'm giving it a 10 out of 10.
Damn. All right. This is Royal Rumble 1992. This was awesome. Make sure to join us next week where we book 5 separate Royal Rumbles.
I do want to make a
note. Two Austin ones.
Huh?
We're booking 2 Austin ones, 97
yeah,
and 2001.
Yeah, I know, which that's going to be something. I do want to make note that coming up towards the end, it's going to be, I'm pretty sure it's going to be on March 25th, or March 25th or March 24th, you know, one of them. We will be talking the 35th anniversary of WrestleMania 3.
Hell yeah.
Hogan Andre.
Sounds good.
Hogan Andre Savage.
No, we just did the Hogan Andre. Never mind. We'll see. Saturday Night's Main Event rematch.
Yeah, that was that was last year, but because the 35th anniversary is coming up this year, we're gonna do it.
Sounds good.
I mean, that means we got to watch a 4-hour show.
It's okay.
All right.
All right, guys. We will see everybody next week. This is a blast, and everyone have a good night and a good weekend.
All right. Later, guys.
Have a good weekend, guys. Enjoy the football.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look. The drive.